Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, today the big event on tap is the Fed meeting and statement by Jerome Powell. We are recording this about 45 minutes before we are going to get at least the meeting notes and then the Powell press conference. I know you don't make any trading advice or moves around these Fed meetings, and you really like to ignore what the Fed is saying and truly look at what the market is telling you about, hey, what their taper process might be, if they are going to raise any rates. Because it is such a critical event for today, and the market's really have been, in a way, handcuffed throughout this week, even though I think we know what the Fed's going to do today. What's your takeaway? What are you going to be watching on the back of the Fed statement? And what do you think is important for investors to understand as we move past this Fed meeting?
Well, as you said, I mean, I think we have to follow the market. I've been more keen on the rate hike aspect of it. And so looking at the market, I mean, I think the market has priced in basically three full rate hikes for the entire 2022. I've been following the data on when the first hike is going to be. And it basically, as of right now, this is subject to change over time, but as of right now, the market is pricing in the first hike in May or June, which is not too far away. And so with respect to precious metals, around that time, if that's when the first hike comes, that's when we're, based on history and all the other things I'm looking at, that's when we're likely to see a significant rebound begin in our sector for the first time in a while. So that's the thing that I'm really thinking about. As far as the more near-term and short-term aspect, precious metals, I mean, the stocks over the last week or so, they had rallied up close to the 200-day moving averages across the board. But in the weekly chart last week, they put in a bearish reversal without even, I mean, they got pretty close to the 200-day moving averages, but they didn't quite touch them. And so they put in a bearish reversal on the weekly chart. So that is worrisome, along with the price action in gold, which it was last week, I think it made it up to 1815, then it sold off and it dumped lower at the very end of the month on Friday. And, you know, we're seeing some follow through with respect to that today. So even if you just pull the Fed out of the equation, the trend in precious metals in a short term sense is worrisome, because the rally reversed course at declining moving averages, so moving average resistance. And, you know, at the same time, we're coming up on potential tax loss selling this month and most of next month for juniors. And, you know, we've been talking about the fundamentals. The stock market made another new all-time high. So the correction that we had a month or two ago, that's all but gone. I mean, the advanced decline line is making new highs for the stock market. So, you know, the dollar had a pullback, it's rallying a little bit. So when we look at all these factors, I mean, the current trend is, I mean, it's up for the stock market, it's down for precious metals. And so, sure, the Fed can say something that might impact that a certain way for a couple days or a week, but it's really nothing that should factor too much into your investment process. And so, you know, I like to say, rather than worrying about the Fed, spend that time calling one of your companies or researching more companies. You're going to be much better off in the long run by being an expert on the companies you invest in, rather than worrying about, you know, what these economic mongoloids might say one way or another, because they just tend to follow the market eventually.
Jordan, I think that's such a great point to focus on the mining stock, something you can control, your information, your knowledge on the market and on the companies and what they're doing. But just to take one more step back, because I do like your perspective on intermarket analysis and looking at other markets and how they relate to the precious metal sector. I think that's key. And you look at technical analysis, which cancels out a lot of the short-term noise anyways. But when you hear investors coming to you, or you see them in the marketplace, or you see them on Twitter talking about, you know, the Fed's going to do this in, you know, 2022, and they can't really hike, or the whole system will explode, or Basel III's coming, it's coming, the banks are going to buy physical, the physical markets are going to get bigger, and they're going to swamp the paper markets, or all these other narratives that you hear people do. You're able to look through all that noise and just focus on the market reaction. Would you unpack that a little bit more for folks that maybe invest their time in the wrong areas?
Yeah, I mean, look, market analysis and following technicals, it's really, really hard. And so I just think a lot of people don't really have the experience or the know-how. And that's not to say that I here have all the answers and I know everything, but I can just, you know, over following this market for almost 20 years, what I try and do is look at the fundamentals as well as, you know, the macro fundamentals as well as the technicals with respect to intermarket analysis, because gold is a market that it's really connected to the other markets, where if the other markets are doing well, you're going to see gold struggle. And that's a simple fact. At the same time, if you look at just Fed policy over the last 50 years, it's amazing how the start of the Fed hiking rates or the start of the Fed cutting rates, like the start of these different Fed cycles, a lot of those tend to follow bottoms, actually, which is interesting. So, I mean, that's something when the Fed shifting policy, I mean, that's something I talked with Corey about a couple years ago, how that was going to be a big thing in 2018, or at least in 2017, you know, before it happened. And, you know, over the last, you know, several months, we've been talking about the Fed hiking rates, because this is just something historically, we look at their decisions and how that is matched up along with, you know, the movement in gold and gold stocks. When you're looking at technical analysis, try and keep it as simple as possible. Look at the price action, look at how gold is performing relative to the stock market, you know, and also against foreign currencies. And that tells you a lot, because, you know, for gold to have serious big moves, it usually has a positive divergence against foreign currencies. And at the same time, you know, it tends to be a little bit stronger than the stock market when it starts these moves. So I factor all those things in. And then at the same time, I just look at the general price action. What is the trend in the market? You know, where are the moving averages, the 200-day and the 400-day? Where are those going? And so with this correction, gold, I don't know at what point we could say, but, you know, over the last year or so, I mean, this correction, it got, you know, it lost the moving averages. So it's been below the 200-day. The 200-day is pointing down. You know, gold has rallied above it a couple times. I think it did so for a day or two last week, but the moving average is still pointing down. And looking at the price action, you know, that tells us that the market is still on the downtrend. And I've said, you know, we have to have a stock market correction or the Fed has to hike rates. And so based on everything I'm looking at, you know, those have been the things that I've been considering for, you know, what can really get this market back into a bull market. And at the same time, you have to look at the very big picture where, you know, for example, I look at the 40-month moving average for gold. Go back 40 years or so. That's been a significant moving average as far as support and resistance. And so gold is still above that moving average. You know, the long term, the very long term historical chart is showing a cup and handle pattern. You know, we're in this handle, which I may have said in August when we started to correct. I said, you know, this could take 18 months, you know, maybe even 2 years. So, you know, you have all these things that you're looking at. It's like you have this big puzzle and you're trying to fit all these things in there. And at the same time, you know, getting back to some of the things you mentioned, you know, the problem with a lot of these things is it's something that Bob Moriarty wrote in one of his books, like it's signal versus noise. Signal has something to do with data. Like there's actually data there, it's objective, you can follow that. Whereas there's noise where it's the opposite, it's completely different. So a lot of the things you mentioned there, the Basel III, or, you know, they're gonna do one hike and the whole system is gonna come down. I mean, all of these things, all of that stuff is noise. You know, it doesn't help your investment process. Anything that you're looking at, I mean, there has to be some kind of objective data behind it. If you want to say the whole system is going to come down or the stock market's going to crash, I mean, that's fine, but at least look at Fed rate hike cycles and historically see how many hikes they do, you know, before the market goes into a bear market again. I mean, that's a legitimate way you could look at it. So, I mean, I know this has been a long and jumbled answer, but I just try and look at all these different things and, you know, put them into a one single puzzle. But it's so important to focus on things that are objective and not things that are subjective and noise. And that's the problem with a lot of people in this sector is, you know, they have these narratives and they can't really be backed up by data one way or another. And it's not just the permables. It's also the perma bears who are talking about how the whole thing's going to collapse. Gold's going to go to 700 and then it's going to go to 7,000 after that. Like they keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. They never change their mind when the data changes. And so it's cognitive dissonance on both sides. And we have to be, you know, careful about that. And circling back to my last answer, I'll just conclude by saying, at the end of the day, you know, become an expert on the companies, because that's going to help you more in the long run by being a good stock picker.
It always comes down to the companies, right? But you are right. There is a lot of noise in this sector. But in all fairness, it's true for, I think, every sector where there are always some permabulls, and they will find whatever reason they need to be bullish, even though the true data doesn't back that up. Jordan, just a quick question, though, because you compare a lot to how the markets or how the precious metals are doing compared to U.S. markets. How did the bond market fit into all of this with yields? This also combines with what the bond market is telling us about the Fed's rate hiking potential here into next year. What's critical to understand about bond market moves and the fact that generally yields have moved higher this year?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, the bond market is very, very tough. And the bond market is going to tell us a lot, especially next year. I mean, I think you're looking at the data. It's fair to say the Fed's going to hike once or twice. But if the data were to soften a little bit and you see long-term bonds, if you see yields, they don't move up next year, that's going to bring about, you know, obviously a lot of questions about did the Fed make a policy mistake? You know, can they hike more than one or two times? You know, are they going to take a year-long break like they did after that one hike at the end of 2015? So the bond market will tell us a lot in that respect, because assuming if we make the assumption the Fed will be able to hike, then the issue after that is, are we going to see inflation remain firm and growth high enough where the Fed can do a couple more hikes? Or, I mean, if long-term yields are not rising and they kind of fizzle out next year on a bigger scale, you know, that's telling you maybe they can only do one or two hikes, and maybe they have to shift policy again and will do something else, because if they only do one or two hikes, I mean, they have no room where they can really cut after that. So, yeah, I just think that the bond market, it's so difficult, but it's really going to be the key next year to tell us how much the Fed can hike. Where is this cycle going with respect to, are we going to see inflation stay sticky? Might it even accelerate a little bit, you know, after next year or late next year? Or is it going to kind of fall off again and we get into this disinflationary thing where you have 1 or 2% inflation again and growth is pretty low? So there's a lot of different things that can happen next year, and the bond market is going to be a good answer with respect to all those things. And I think in most cases, the precious metals are in a pretty good shape with respect to how the bond market will act next year. So I will say that I am, given how everything's setting up, I mean, I am more bullish on precious metals next year. But the bond market is going to help tell us whether inflation is really going to be sticky, or if we're going to see growth numbers and inflation kind of turn back lower again, and then we have these deflationary worries again, even though it's just really disinflation.
A lot of balls in the air that we have to keep our eye on. And honestly, on a lot of these things, as you've been saying, we just have to wait and see how some of these trends play out. So in the meantime, while investors are waiting for these trends to play out and to see which way the markets go, you mentioned doing your homework and researching companies and looking at the mining stocks and seeing which ones catch your eye. Is there a particular area or subsector you're looking at? Are you more interested in producers, royalty companies, developers, exploration stocks, prospect generators? What subsector has your attention when you're doing your homework right now?
Well, first I would say definitely not prospect generators, although I did notice one of them has had good drill results recently. But aside from that, I'm mostly focused on producers and developers. I mean, right now, the thing that I like about those is their outcomes are more predictable. I mean, I can assess where they might be in 2 or 3 years, you know, if they grow production, or if they build a mine, you know, what's their capital structure going to look like? How much are they going to cash flow at 1,800, 2,000 gold, that type of deal? Those are the ones that I'm most focused on, because the outcomes are more predictable. I mean, if we see gold, you know, rise above 1900 next year, or, you know, everything gets bombed out when the Fed hikes, I mean, in that scenario, I might look at, you know, more explorers and more optionality type plays. But those are, they're secondary to my main focus, because producers and developers, again, I like that the outcomes are more predictable. And to be honest, I mean, these companies perform the best if there's some production growth there. So that's what I really like. And I'll throw in, because I was talking to you guys about this off mic, if you're a fan of exploration by producers, and I say that because the producers that have exploration success, I always give these examples, go back the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, Kirkland Lake, Wes Dome, K92 Mining, three of the most absolute successful producers, and they all had a significant amount of exploration success. And the thing is, with this exploration success, you don't even need to necessarily like predict they're going to have great drill results. You can just look at their drill results, you know, talk to them, understand where they're having some success, where it's going to help impact the business. And, you know, if that's the case, those results tend to get, in most cases, they will get better over time with respect to adding more value to the company. And we could be coming into a tough 2 to 4 or 5 months here, tax law selling, and, you know, the Fed getting ready to hike rates. And so while that's super bullish for the sector, the very beginning part of that is bearish until they actually hike. And so that means, I know I've probably said this before, but honestly, with this rate hike coming, you know, the next 2 months for tax loss selling, then, you know, 3, 4, 5 months for some of the larger companies potentially. I mean, this is a window where this is like a January, a 2016 or a, you know, summer 2018 type window we're coming into, where you're going to have a really, really good buying opportunity, where the market is getting ready to put in a significant low. And so, you know, we could be in a period where good news kind of gets ignored, or good drill results by producers, the market doesn't care. So it's going to be a, you know, I don't want to say a once in a lifetime opportunity, but it looks to be a really, really good opportunity coming in the coming months. And so, you know, now is the time to get ready and, you know, start researching these companies and become a real expert. And so, yeah, yes, I'm mostly focused on producers and developers, but at the same time, you know, there are some other companies that I have in the back of my mind, you know, in case they really get bombed out. I'm more interested in those as we move very, very close to what looks like a bottom in the sector.
All right, Jordan, we're going to wrap it up there. And to one of your points there, it's unfortunate that we've actually been in that environment for a while where good news can actually be a selling event for some of these stocks. Although the odd good news actually does drive some of the select few high flyers in terms of the resource stocks higher. Always great chatting with you, Jordan. I know you will be waiting patiently for that Fed statement later today. I am saying that in a very sarcastic way, but we will be chatting with you next week, and we'll get to see just how the markets and metals react on the back of the policy change, I guess, today from the Fed. Jordan, thanks as always for your time, bud. We'll chat again next week.